This is the story of the one. As a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility, he knows keeping the line up and running is a top priority. That's why he chooses Grainger. Because when a drive belt gets damaged, Grainger makes it easy to find the exact specs for the replacement product he needs. And next day delivery helps ensure he'll have everything in place and running like clockwork. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
This is the Adam Carriker Show.
Position right of the quarterback, out of the shotgun, first and 20. Jailbreak screen in the air. It is tipped. It is intercepted by Carriker at the Missouri 21-yard line.
Live from the heart of Lincoln, America, eight-year NFL vet and All-American defensive lineman Adam Carriker.
Shotgun snap to Everett. He's got the left arm going, and now he's got a whole lot of Adam Carriker who rips him down inside the 25-yard line.
On 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com. Here is your host, Adam Carriker.
Welcome in, ladies and gentlemen, to the Adam Carriker Show here on 93.7 The Ticket. If you don't know, now you know. Ladies and gentlemen, Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, Friday, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. Central Time. Grab your lunch. Come join yours truly. What you're going to hear is Husker sports, college football, and sports in general. What you're going to get is unique insight, unbridled honesty, and producer Jake and I are going to have a whole lot of fun in the process. So I talk about often how this show is loaded. This legit is one of the most loaded shows I think I've ever walked into the ticket with. I'm staring at a screen full of information, and it just doesn't end. There were so many sports that went on, from wrestling, by the way, to national champions. I mean, beach volleyball is going on. Softball got a sweep. Baseball is playing against USC. Spring football starts today. What are the major storylines out of there? The men's basketball tournament, Jake. I hate the SEC.
I noticed.
Okay, let me rephrase that. Because on social media yesterday, I went out and I said, I don't hate the SEC. So I don't hate the SEC. I just don't respect the arrogance that is displayed, the insane level of arrogance that is displayed from time to time, or a lot of the time. And I think the other thing that annoys me about it is I've seen Lane Kiffin talk about, oh, we're not just better than everybody else. It's a whole nother level. Like, they're the NFL of college football. Yet Lane Kiffin has never coached in the Big Ten Conference. He was at USC for like 2 minutes, Knoxville for maybe 90 seconds. And then he went down to FIU. Now he's at Ole Miss. So how many games have you realistically coached in the Big Ten? Just as an example, Paul Feinbaum openly talked about, and I actually gained respect for him. We played the clip here. He openly said, basically, the Big Ten is much better than he thought. And he hadn't even watched a Penn State football game until the playoffs. He didn't really know much about Kurt Cignetti. Yet he's offering strong opinions about these teams and about these coaches. And he openly admitted this, and then he basically apologized. This was right after the football season, and he earned so much of my respect. He's like, basically, I'm going from SEC game to SEC game to stadium, or whatever the case may be. He's like, I don't have time. So my thought was, why were you so strong in some of your opinions to begin with? But hey, nobody's perfect. I appreciated him going back and saying, hey, this is the truth. Maybe the SEC isn't as dominant as we thought, or as good as we thought. And I've talked from time to time during the men's basketball season about how the SEC is not supposed to be good at basketball. I guess we have 94 teams in your conference. We have more. So what do we have, 80,000? You're eventually going to get some teams in. So the first round, you may be aware of this, they had 14 teams in. They only had 8 come round 2. It's the most amount of teams any conference in the history of college basketball has ever gotten into the NCAA tournament. I think it was 11 was the previous record. All right, it was 11 teams was the previous record. It was also the most amount of losses any conference had suffered in the first round of the NCAA tournament, which was 6. Come round 2, the Big Ten, which had 8 teams get in, had 8 teams in the round 2. They went 8-0. The SEC also had 8 teams, but they started with way more. So I decided to have a little fun when we went through our bracket. I was open and very honest about my SEC, anti-SEC bias. Of the 16 teams in the Sweet 16, do you know how many are from the SEC, Jake?
I do.
Don't say it with such joy.
I kind of like the SEC.
What? All this time and you've never brought this up? All right. I know how many are in. Tell the fine folks.
Seven. Seven made it. And that is new record.
I was going to say, that is a what starts with an R. That is a record. 7 of the 16 freaking basketball teams into the Sweet 16 for the men's basketball tournament from the SEC. You know how I started red hot in the NCAA tournament bracket challenge? Like on Friday, we looked at the results from Thursday. I only had two games wrong, I think, out of 16 or whatever it was. That is no longer. I am now, we did a Carriker family bracketology challenge. And at first, I was first. I think I'm about 6th out of 8. You know, there's like 6 children in my family, right?
Yeah, that's not very good.
Thanks. Wow, you are having a great day. All right, Jake. Hey, I can admit when I'm wrong. I can admit when things are going on that maybe I saw it differently. In my defense, I have a hard time buying into the SEC being good at basketball because they historically have not been great at basketball. It's been Arkansas from time to time. It's been Florida. I forgot to mention them last week. From time to time. And Kentucky, obviously, is usually pretty good way more often than not. Beyond that, there wasn't a whole lot. I'm not used to seeing Auburn and Alabama as number one seeds. Like, what is going on there? So in my defense, I had to see it in order to believe it. In my defense, I have an anti-SEC bias. So there was that going in as well. You know what my hope is? You know the irony of all this? The most ironic thing of all this. I still have a chance to win my family's tournament bracket. And do you want to know why?
Champion's still out there?
My champion is still out there. You want to take any guesses and know it's ironic as to who it is?
I'm guessing Auburn or Alabama.
Florida.
Florida, okay.
Nobody in my family has Florida. My 7-year-old took UConn because her favorite dog is a Husky. Most everybody else, my son took Michigan, which I guess his champion is still alive. Everybody else took Duke. The ironic part is my hopes of winning actually hinge on an SEC team. And by the way, when I was filling out my bracket, for me, it was like going into the bracket and filling it out. I was like, it's Duke or Florida. Like, I knew that was going to be my national title game. And looking at it, just looking at who Florida had beaten, who they lost to, looking at Duke, things of that nature. I mean, neither one of those teams could get in. This is the NCAA tournament. It is March Madness. But if this matchup happened, or who's most likely to get here was the other way I looked. Who's just going to get to the game? I just felt like it was Florida. And I put my anti-SEC bias aside when I picked that game. And now the irony is I'm like rooting for Florida like nobody's freaking business. Who's your champion? Who do you got winning the bracket? Remind me.
I picked Duke. I mean, I did multiple brackets, but in 2 of my brackets, I did Duke, and 1 I did Tennessee over Florida. But I don't know if you watched that UConn game with your daughter. That would have been an exciting game to watch with her because Walter Clayton had to hit some huge threes down there down the stretch for them to escape and get to the Sweet 16. UConn made it tough on him.
Dude, Hurley was mad.
He always is mad.
Yeah, that's true. he's like Creighton basketball's favorite coach in America. Don't I have that factually correct? Isn't that correct?
I think there was a vote. Yes, I think that word landed.
Is that how it worked out?
Yes.
All right, here's a couple other interesting things. And then we have got a plethora of Husker sports to catch up on. We've got national champions to talk about. Nebraska football, spring football starts today. A whole bunch of things to talk about. But this is the first time the Sweet 16 is composed entirely of major conference teams. Since the Sweet 16 officially began in 1975, only 4 different conferences. Okay, you got to stop at the appropriate spots. This is the first time the Sweet 16 is composed entirely of major conference teams since the Sweet 16 officially began in 1975. Period. Stop. Space. Okay. New paragraph. Only 4 different conferences are represented this year. Every other Sweet 16 had at least 7. So I've seen everywhere on social media, NIL, the transfer portal, things of that nature has kind of played a huge role in the lack of madness in March Madness. What are your thoughts on that, Jake?
I mean, you don't want to you don't want to overreact, right? This is a small sample size, just 1 tournament here. But at the same time, I mean, you're talking about historic numbers, right? Since 1975. So, I mean, I think that it's probably going to be a trend we're going to see moving forward. I don't think it happens to happen the same year the SEC breaks the record. It gets all these teams in. The SEC, as we know, has been getting the most money from football along with the Big Ten. Big Ten's doing well. I mean, the Big Ten has struggled. We'll see if they can find a champion, but because they haven't had a champion since Tom Izzo in the year 2000, but a pretty good weekend for the Big Ten.
It's been that long. I knew it had been a while. Oh, wow. Yeah. All right. Sorry. Go ahead. You and your daggers every day, man.
Just a lot of, like I said, short sample size because it's one tournament, but there's a lot of like historical points that would lead you to believe that. Look at FAU, the Final Four team from a few years ago. On that team now, they've got three guys in the Sweet 16. None of them play for FAU. They play for Tennessee. They play for Michigan. They play for Florida.
Yeah, yeah.
So, I mean, that's kind of the perfect example. And, it's crazy. I was surprised. ESPN, by the way, there's zero perfect brackets left. And I was surprised considering there's a lot of chalk in this tournament.
I also saw this random post from ESPN. There are zero brackets left that have also not gotten at least one game right.
I saw that too, yeah.
I thought that was interesting. As well, for those interested, all right, there are four Big Ten teams left in the tournament. You got fourth seeded Purdue, fourth seeded Maryland, second seeded Michigan State, who you and I both have into the Final Four. Is that remember that right?
Yep, that's right.
And then Michigan, who's a fifth seed. Now, if they both win, if Michigan State beats Ole Miss and Michigan beats Auburn.
If you love to travel, Capital One has a rewards credit card that's perfect for you. With the Capital One Venture X card, you earn unlimited double miles on everything you buy. Plus, you get premium benefits at a collection of luxury hotels when you book on Capital One Travel. And with Venture X, you get access to over 1,000 airport lounges worldwide. Open up a world of travel possibilities with the Capital One Venture X card. What's in your wallet?
Terms apply. Lounge access is subject to change. See CapitalOne.com for details.
Michigan, Michigan State, and the Elite Eight to go to the Final Four. That will be a can't-miss basketball game for so many reasons. All right, one more final thought here. And as always, ladies and gentlemen, if you're so inclined, send your questions, comments, thoughts, concerns, and or otherwise to this number. And we will, hey, if something we need to be corrected on, if I need to have more anti-SEC bias, feel free to let me know. If I need to chill out on the anti-SEC bias, send that Jake's way. He'll relay it to me. Anyway, send it to this number. What is that number?
402-464-5685.
And again, just to be clear, I don't hate the SEC. The SEC and the Big Ten are clearly the two best conferences in America. I just get annoyed when I see people who I know haven't spent much time out of the SEC bubble. It's a rather large bubble, but it's still a bubble. And then they want to pretend like they're just God's greatest gift to earth. And the arrogance just bothers me sometimes. And then when they were losing the bowl games and they were losing in the playoff and they were getting mollywopped by all these Big Ten teams, it was like, I go by results on the field, not opinion spewed from your mouth. And so with basketball, it started out good, but we'll see what happens. I'm curious. Knowing the SEC has way more teams, okay, I won't go Final Four because there's only four teams that get in. It's kind of a small sample size. Which conference, the Big Ten or SEC, which conference do you believe will get more teams into the Elite Eight?
Probably the SEC. I mean, they've got the numbers advantage. And you know, I think they've got probably favored, at least when you look at the Big Ten, you mentioned there's a couple four seeds. Michigan, Michigan State, probably the ones you feel pretty comfortable with, but they have to face each other in the Elite Eight, maybe if you get there. But yeah, I mean, there's just a lot of teams. There's a lot of SEC teams in there. By the way, good point off the text line. I wanted to get your thoughts on this. Is that someone said that Scott Minnesota says Houston used to be a mid-major. And, you know, the Big 12, you look at them, they got four seeds. And Texas Tech, I think, is the only one that was in the Big 12 like four years ago. So part of it might also just be there's more teams in the major conferences. The Big 12, you know, adding the UCFs and the Houstons and all that, you know, that takes away from the mid-major numbers as well.
No, that's a great point. Just by the sheer numbers, the size of the Big Ten, the size of the SEC, your odds are, I mean, it's a basic, I'm not a math major here, but basic math, the more teams you have in your conference, the more chance you have to get into a 64, 68 team field. And I was about to point out the Big 12, four teams in as well. The ACC, which at one point in time, not so long ago, I would have said the Big East for a time when I was growing up was the best basketball conference. Then I would have said the ACC. They've only got one team left, Duke. And I talked about, and I remember the surprise on your face when I said it before the ACC tournament. Obviously, there was matchups of ranked teams in the ACC tournament. Before the ACC tournament, in the ACC conference games that were played this year in the regular season, there were zero matchups of ranked teams versus ranked teams. Zero. Kind of adds to why there's only one team left, and that is Duke. that is left. Right, a final thought on March Madness. This is college sports only. I think this was on Twitter. They posed the question, which we've already, I don't know if we really discussed the answer, but is NIL and the portal taking the madness out of March? What a dull opening round. I think this was after the first round. What a dull opening round. Obviously, we haven't had a show since Friday. The most blowouts with no major upsets. 20 of the 32 games were decided by 10-plus points. An average margin of victory of 17 points per game. 1 through 4 seeds went 16-0. Again, this is after the first round, before round two. With the games decided by 23 points per game. NIL is hurting Cinderella and the or is NIL hurting Cinderella and the soul of the tournament? I don't know if we've directly addressed that. What's your thoughts on that? And then we'll move on, Jake.
I mean, yeah. I mean, again, those are a lot of numbers that kind of stack against the opposite argument there. And you know, sometimes you could argue that'd be a good thing. I think that the upsets are exciting. And that's kind of what you want to start the tournament the first 2 days, right? So we kind of didn't have that crazy first 2 days this year. But, you know, as the tournament gets further along, I think generally you want kind of heavyweights in there. So, you know, that could be a good thing. But, yeah, I mean, I just think it's hard to argue against at this point. Like you said, the disparity in those games, that's kind of what hurt, you know, the excitement of the first two couple of days as well, is that there just wasn't a whole lot of buzzer beaters that, you know, or games that were really close coming down to it. So, I mean, it is what it is. I mean, we're seeing it we talk about it in football and in any sport. If you have success at a smaller school, there's going to be somebody there to bid you higher and get you to their school. And transfer portal has been kind of a nuance to college football, but it's kind of been around a college basketball a little bit more heavily used before, but now it's really there. I think it took away a little bit of the excitement. That's why I think there aren't any perfect brackets out there on ESPN anymore, is because everybody goes through it and you look like, oh, well, I just too much chalk. This never happened since 1975. I got to pick a Cinderella. So I think everybody went out of their way to pick a Cinderella. And I suppose, a 10 seed Arkansas might fall in that category. But there's still SEC power program. I mean, a lot of money down there.
That is the closest thing we have to Cinderella right now, is a 10 seed Arkansas team. I hadn't even thought about that. I don't have a whole lot to add to what you, I pretty much agree with what you said. My final thought, I've always thought, I mean, March, I never understood why we went to 68 teams. And then the 1 year, I think it was like the first year we did go to 68 teams. That's the year VCU won a play-in game that made the Final Four, almost made the Final Four, yeah. Or whatever. So it like validated. Nobody's done it since, by the way. I don't hate the 64 team field. I don't hate March Madness. It absolutely, how many people who love college basketball love March Madness outside of the school that you root for? Like, how many people actually sit down and watch college basketball games during the regular season? And the only reason I bring that up, we don't need to go down the rabbit hole with this, but I'm staring at 6 SEC teams that had losing conference records that got in. I don't know. And 5 of them lost in the first round, but obviously the SEC is doing just fine at this point. I had quite the conversation with Rob Zadica and Travis Justice yesterday on their show, Doc Talk, and we were debating because Rob, I swear to God, he wants 64 teams in the college football playoff. Maybe I'm exaggerating, maybe not. I don't know. Because I'm that guy that's like, I always thought we needed more than 4 because the debate between who's best and who deserves to be in, when you have that debate, you end up leaving somebody out. Why don't we just go to 8 and just make it easy? But don't go beyond 8 because then you don't destroy the regular season like I kind of laid out with college basketball. I've always thought even maybe 10 because then you could maybe include the G5 teams as well. And then if you do 10 teams into a playoff, you know, maybe the top 6 get a first round bye, and 7 plays 10, 8 plays 9. Maybe those are your playoff play in games. We know that's not where it's going. That's not the way it is. At some point, I haven't done it yet this offseason. I want to sit down and I want to figure out and finalize how if I were college football commissioner, just saying, I should be, if I were, how I would do it. I just haven't taken the time to do it yet this offseason. There's always so much Husker sports going on, so much sports in general to talk about. There's no shortage of stuff, but let's go to break. When we come back, Nebraska wrestling. Mark Manning. We discussed about a month ago, the Mount Rushmore of Nebraska coaches. And most people right off the top were like Bob Devaney, John Cook, and Tom Osborne. There's so many coaches that could be in the conversation to be on the Mount Rushmore, because that leaves one spot wide open if you want those 3, from Terry Pettit to Mark Manning to so many other coaches over the years. okay? This dude has been one of the best coaches in all of college athletics for over two decades. And he wins the NCAA Tournament Coach of the Year Award. And we're going to talk about wrestling when we come back. The two national championships, the eight All-Americans, the highest team finish in the history of Nebraska wrestling, number two in the country. He's done a phenomenal job. And I'm glad that he's starting to get a little bit more of the recognition that he deserves. And frankly, I think Nebraska wrestling, they do a great job. We do a great job here on the Ticket of covering it. DP was there all weekend. I mean, they win a national title, walk right off the mat, and they walk right over to DP. Like, that's pretty freaking cool. But I think Nebraska wrestling should be getting even as much publicity, maybe even more than they've currently gotten to this point. That's why I talk about so many Husker sports to so great length as much as I can, because I want to talk about and bring eyeballs to as many Husker sports as possible. I've always felt that way. Am I a former football player? Yes. Am I always going to be a little bit biased towards football and certain things? Yes and no. You got to remember, I wasn't allowed to play football for a long time growing up, so basketball is my favorite sport, and baseball is the one I actually thought that I was going to play beyond high school. So I love talking all these sports, and doing the research and watching the games as much as possible and doing the research to talk about all these sports is frankly a lot more time consuming than if I just walked in here, sat down and talked football every day. Talking one sport versus as many as you can is a lot more challenging. That's not a, oh, pity me, woe was me. No, no, no. I enjoy doing it because these sports need to be talked about more. And when we come back, and as much as possible, when we come back, we're going to talk about Nebraska wrestling and their record-setting phenomenal weekend at Nationals.